Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Hey, bench warmers. We kept it up. It is still the background if you're watching on the YouTube, which is also released 12 hours before the podcast. We surprised you with that last week. That's why it pays to follow at FEOTB Pod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. YouTube's now released 12 hours before the audio Wednesday night. Podcast drops Thursday. We said last week we might change it up, but it is still technically the very, very last week of summer. As a teacher, I can tell you, you milk that clock up until the very end. So we're not changing nothing. We're keeping the mojo the same too, because we're starting off.
No bad juju.
We're not changing nothing. No changing nothing. Nico, Bryant, Jimmy Pilato, episode 150 of the Far End of the Bench podcast, presented by the Variety Sports Network. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We're going to talk playoffs. We're going to do guest the bench finale. We're going to talk NFL pick'em and some CU football. It's going to be kind of quick and rapid. Just to kind of get the last one in before the actual season starts. Plus, we got a huge wave of content coming at you weekly now. So a little bit short of a normal episode isn't depriving you of anything, I will say. Nico, I know you just got back. You guys flew in today. Your travel schedule is a little bit weird because you guys played a day later, but it was a good outcome, and we're going to start in PLL playoffs. So how's it been going? I'm sure that's fresh in your mind, and you're excited to talk about it just as much as I am.
Oh, the boys will play another week, Jimmy. That's all that matters. The boys are not done. There was multiple outlets, lacrosse media outlets, that were saying if there's going to be an upset, it would have been the chaos over the Redwoods that we would have lost. There are a lot of people saying Rapinoe cannot get it done. Westberg is just an afterthought. People are saying that our goalie is not good enough. I heard all those this week. And I'm in the locker room. I'm on the sideline. I'm in the locker room. And if you don't think I fuel those fires as much as I can, you're lying to yourself, is all I'll say. I see everything. I hear everything. Every little bit of detail. If you don't think I relay that message to my guys, you're lying to yourself. I am the personal hype man, fucking do it all person for every single person on this team, and there's not a hotter team in the league right now. Four straight wins, and there's not a team that is more destined for this long run than us. I'll tell you that right now. We're facing the number one team that kicked our ass back in Fairfield back in June, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
July, whatever it was. It feels like so damn long ago. I like to forget that weekend. But the boys are ready. We're going to Long Island. We're playing Hofstra this weekend. And like I said, anybody can beat anybody. And there's no bigger belief in our team than in our locker room right now. So I cannot be more thrilled of the outcome this weekend. Putting 13 goals on the goalie of the year, Blaze Rudin, is something that – look, doesn't happen. Plain and simple. It does not happen. So get off that a hard start. Westberg having 7 goals. I'll tell a quick story here about why he didn't score any more goals. But let's just say something went wrong with his stick on the sideline, and the mesh got soaked. And that's why he basically didn't score any more goals. The playoff record goal was 7, so he tied it. The total amount of goals in the game total was 9. So he wasn't near that, but the playoff total was 7. So it's unfortunate he did not get the record. It's just a little insider information from you, from the guy standing on the sideline. But, yeah, his head did get a little messed up. I'm not going to say it was by me, but I'm not going to name names. But it was someone on our sideline, and it wasn't me. So I'll let you all figure that out on your own. But, like I said, didn't matter in the end. We poured it on in the first half. And like I said, this team is ready and ready to roll on to the next one. Job's not finished.
That is a very thorough, obviously it's awesome for the PLL, the Redwoods updates, that Nico is on the sidelines. He travels with the team, basically sets up all the travel. So yes, I don't even hear all the different lacrosse media outlets that you do, but I knew that was the one game. And you said it on our show last week, the Redwoods are expected to choke in the playoffs. If we look back at last week, so in Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots have played, and that
which hold on, to touch on that slightly. First of all, I hate the Patriots even more now. That stadium is super nice. Don't get me wrong, such a nice facility. The staff workers at the stadium, super nice. The Patriots walked by us because we were in the back there. I saw Mac Jones. I saw Zeke. I saw a bunch of those guys. I was moving stuff around. I had to move water around, and I got yelled at by a Patriots staff worker that said, please don't move water around when the team walks by. So I got yelled at for no reason.
When the team walks by, when they're in the presence, you cannot move water in the presence of their team members.
You have to stop everything you're doing and don't move and make sure everybody just walks by. There was a massive opening where there was no one coming, so I walked right by with my cooler and with the gator with waters that I had to fill the locker room for, and I got yelled at by a Patriots guy. So yeah, my hatred for the Patriots is even more now. So
unless you're a Korean masseuse, you don't have free run of the facility. That is not something that you're able to – do not make eye contact with our players.
And I won't blame this on the security guard because the security guard was very nice, but I was waiting as they were walking by, and I had someone text me, call me on my phone, and the security guard asked me, hey, the team's very specific. Like, can you put your phone away? So like I said, Gillette Stadium, super nice. Staff works at Gillette Stadium, super nice. Down to earth, love them.
Oh my God.
Team, still hate them. Don't care if they're irrelevant anymore. Still hate them.
They're so paranoid that anybody's going to do what they did. Like, they don't have phones out because they're petrified that somebody – they spied on everybody else, so now somebody's going to spy on them. It seems like it's a strange energy. The Redwoods beat the Chaos 15-9. Then the second game, Water Dogs beat and move on. They beat the Whipsnakes 15-12 in the last game of the weekend. The Cannons took care of business. Second seeded team in the playoffs. They win 22-11. Water Dogs had a little bit of a scare. You were saying that the Whipsnakes were probably the second best team outside of what a lot of people were saying, the Chaos, to actually upset and be the lower seed that wins and moves on. What did you see? Why did the Water Dogs seem to struggle so much, and why was that game so close?
Well, let's not forget that the Whipsnakes have been in every single championship game outside of one. Actually, I take it back, two. Outside of two. Like, they have been in the championship or have won nearly every single year. And first time ever in PLL history that neither the Chaos or the Whipsnakes will be in the PLL championship game, which is crazy, absolutely crazy. 5 years of existence, and neither of those teams will be present. But look, the Whips have Rambo, Zed Williams, Michael Earhart, reigning long stick midi of the year. We have lots of guys that have been there, done that, won championships, done all that. So that's why I felt like they had that edge. But then you gotta let's not forget that the War Dogs still have such a damn good roster, top to bottom. Obviously, a team that majority of the team came back from last year and won it all from last year. But Michael Sowers and Kieran McArdle and especially Zach Currier at the midfield has been absolutely incredible for them as well. So they have it going everywhere across the board, but it was not a diss to the Water Dogs saying the Whipsnakes had a better chance. It was more of a kudos to the players the Whipsnakes had on the team that made me feel as though they may have the best chance.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a fair analysis. And I think one thing that, we've had people come on and join the show, which we appreciate. Hopefully they follow, stick around when we continue on and talk about the NFL season. But there are some diehard PLL fans, and they're looking for the kind of analysis and the content that we've been doing over the past couple weeks. So we appreciate doing it. Cannons handle the Atlas. Was that there was no surprise there. Atlas had the talent, but you said it last week. Like, they haven't put it together as a team. And when you're the most talented, but you're not an actual team, that's where it becomes tough to do. Make up for the upsets and have to push when you're a lower seed, especially.
Oh, on paper, they were the team that was the odds-on favorite before the season started. They added two very good defenders on their team. They still have best face-off guy in the world, the reigning MVP. They still have Jeff T, Chris Gray, who were two of the best young attackmen in the league. They have talent all across the board, and for whatever reason, they just could not put it together at all season long. And look, they have 12 guys who are free agents this summer. A team is going to be massively different next year, massively different. So we'll see what they end up looking like. But like I said, a team that talented, look, Tucker Dixon had a great year as a rookie. The guys, Gavin Adler and I forgot who the other rookie is for them, but the rookies, the young guys they have in the roster are going to be very, very good for a long time to come. They just need to figure out their identity, and they were searching for that all season long. The Canadians know who their identity is. It's a FU mentality, and that we're better than you and everything. And that's bitten them in the ass sometimes, cough, cough, when they played us. But sometimes when you put 20 points on a team in a playoff game, 20 goals on a team in a playoff game, stuff like that shows. And they had confidence oozing out of their veins, especially since, obviously, more than likely they'll be the Boston Cannons. So it was basically a home game of sorts. I will say we did have a big fan, Redwoods fan base in Boston, so that was very, very cool to see. I think we had the second biggest fan base, but Boston Cannons fans were out in all forces, I'll tell you that.
It's tough when you have that historical tie, and then obviously that's where Rabel played and kind of made his name. So, and New England is a lacrosse heavy market. That's one place where you know you're going to have a lot of people that come out anyways. So it was cool to see. And now we move on to Hempstead, New York, Long Island, basically Shuart Stadium.
Playing at Hofstra University, yep. Another big lacrosse school.
And we start things off, the Redwoods, you mentioned it, they're going up against the number one seeded team in the playoffs. This game, not only is it going to be on an ESPN affiliate, it is on ABC. It is a nationally broadcasted lacrosse game.
And ladies and gentlemen, the game, Jimmy, is when?
Sunday at
1 o'clock local. You know what also is that Sunday at 1 o'clock?
A lot of the football games. Broncos game starts an hour later.
Football games. That is a prime time national televised slot that the PLL has, ladies and gentlemen, during a day full of week one football. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe in this league now, I don't know what else I need to convince you towards, is all I'm going
to
say.
ESPN also gave their last Monday without football to the PLL. Like, this was their last Monday with football, and they had three games right in a row, triple header.
Absolutely. So if you're not a believer, I don't know what to tell you is all I'm going to say. But like I said, it's going to be weird. I'm not going to watch a lick of football all weekend. There's a good chance my fantasy lineup is absolute shit. But like I said, being able to still be playing lacrosse right now is a blessing. So I could not be more thankful. And to be playing on a Sunday where, like I said, there's 2 weeks left. And we're playing for keeps, and we're playing for one more week together. That's been the mantra all season long. And who better than to knock off the number one seed, a team that everyone has picked to win it all, a team that came home with 7 awards at the award banquet Saturday night, the previous Saturday night, a team that has the MVP, the midfielder of the year, the leadership award, and Tom Schreiber, a team that beat your ass 13-3. Everyone is going to pick against you. Everyone is. So, look, there's this mantra, and I hate using the Bill Belichick way, but why not us? It's constantly why not us, and that mentality comes across. So, I'm expecting a very close game. A lot of people, like I said, I'm hearing a lot of people saying that the War Dogs versus Cannons game will be the – we'll ultimately win the championship no matter what. That's really going to be the finals, and that's going to be the best game of the last three games left. And all I'm going to say is just hold off. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what this team is made of, is all I'm going to say. And a guy who's been around this team all season long, I have nothing but belief for the guys in that locker room. So I'm very, very excited for a chance to knock off the number one seed.
It's also a place where the Redwoods, have been building up this momentum, and they didn't have a break. I get that you want the one seed, so you have that bye, possibly get people healthy. But if you're a team that's going to end the season on a winning streak, you definitely don't want to go home and break up that momentum. So The Redwoods are continuing their momentum. They're continuing that three-game winning streak they had towards the end of the season, and the Archers are going to have to come back off the couch after a week off.
We won 4 games in a row. The only team in the league who's done that right now. And the Archers have not won a game in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. They have not won a lacrosse game in 3 weeks. Obviously, the bye, and then they lost last week of the season.
I'm just going to sit here and say that's ripe for a look-ahead game, especially when you get another week off. There's no momentum being built if the Archers, even if they are able to pull this off. I'm hoping that we get 2 more weeks of Redwoods lacrosse content. I did it right that time. And then the last game of the weekend, the Cannons and Water Dogs, You said it. This is looked at as like the team that's the game that's going to decide who goes on and who's going to win the league. There's a lot of talent on both sides. I know that there's going to be, I think this is going to be a high scoring game, but with the way that the Water Dogs and Cannons, like the last few weeks, the momentum just doesn't seem to be like they're playing tough teams. They're playing close games. And is this where you're going to be in too close a game? Like we used to say it in football, if you let a team hang around long enough, they're going to beat you. And I think both games right now, the teams that are expected to win, they might let the other team hang around for a little bit. And that's going to be an absolute nightmare when you finally get to the end of and look up at the end of regulation. And you may or may not have to pack up your gear come following Monday. Only two teams this weekend get to go happy, and not even Monday, one team Jimmy, finishes.
It's directly after the game. Pack up that blue bin, as we called it this past weekend. Like I said, there's a lot of shit talk between us liaisons and different people on staff. We're not packing up our blue bin. We're not making sure jerseys are signed and sold to the auction until next week after our championship party. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm here for it. I want a championship party just as much as the next guy. That's gonna
do it. If you thought my fucking bender after Nuggets winning was something, just wait. If we win it all this year, is all I'm gonna say. The Redwoods win. That's all I'm gonna say.
If you took the over under on 15 minutes, the over did hit. It was 15:45 before Nico finally did remind us that the Nuggets won the world championship.
Hey, I'm going to add a footnote to that. Nuggets still world champions. Redwoods lacrosse still PLL champions in 2 weeks. That's all I'm going to say. Two shows from now, there's going to be two of those, and you're going to have to edit it. That's all I'm going to say.
That's fine. I will be able to. I will gladly do that. I'll take the extra time, make sure that that's taken care of. You guys see it if you're watching on the YouTube channel. The background has changed. It's the finale. We did a summer trivia series, and just wouldn't it work out that we go into the finale and 1 point right now separates Nico and myself. Nico scored a total of 14. I scored a total of 13 points over four rounds of trivia. So today is going to be the final round. We each brought questions. We each gave the other basically the topic of what the question that we wanted to have asked of us, and then the other person got to, from that point, create their own. So we have a general idea of what these questions are going to be, but we have no clue what exactly we're looking for.
Yeah, we have five niche categories for each person, and I think it's best probably for one of us to go through our five and see how it goes from there. Who you want to start is up to you, but like I said, we all have five niche categories. I think I gave you some pretty good questions, some very reasonable questions is all I'm gonna say based upon what you gave me. So we'll see how it goes.
I feel the same way. Since you were the winner of the FEOTB pick'em last year, and this is how we're deciding what that's gonna look like right now. So whoever has more points, the differential between the points that were scored, will be the lead. So if Nico beats me by the 1 point, he would start the pick 'em off 1-0, and we'll go from there. So since you were the winner last season, winner walks, you get to decide. Do you want me to go first and know exactly what you need, or would you like your questions and get those out of the way?
I'll ask you the questions, and I'll.
I was hoping you were going to go the other way, but that's fine.
I'll ask you the questions, and I'll see what I have to get. So for instance, for people out there, Jimmy's niche categories he gave me: Garth Brooks songs/records he holds, who the current title holders and main characters are in WWE/AEW, World War I or World War II, Avalanche greats based on their positions or stats, and the historically great franchises that may or may not be good anymore. So let's see how we go. I'm going to go in the order you gave it to me. So we're starting with the king. We're starting with the legend that is Garth Brooks. First question.
I'm already nervous. Oh, and now we're having issues. You froze if you're saying your question. All right, so we're going to get into it. I wish you would have chosen to take your questions first. I'm already nervous. I have a lot of anxiety. That's just how I am. So let's go ahead. You said first one's Garth Brooks.
First one, we're sticking off with Garth Brooks, the king that is. So first question, name the song off these Garth Brooks lyrics. And a thought crosses in my mind, if I never wake in the morning, would she ever doubt the way I feel about her in my heart?
If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I love? Yes, that is my final one and final answer. That was a good one. I was at first comes. I was like, ooh, that's yeah. Unfortunately, my brain is organized in all of song lyrics. So I love that that was the first question, and I don't feel quite as bad. I feel confident now. You've built my confidence.
Which I know. I
cut me down to size.
I figured I would get your confidence up a little bit. Next question you gave me: current title holders, main characters in WWE. I did WWE, not AEW, because WWE is better. So, all right. What current WWE champion has this resume? I will say, it may or may not be his full resume, but it's part of his resume. Okay. All right. One-time WWE champion, two-time World Heavyweight champion, two-time Intercontinental champion, five-time Tag Team champion, three-time United States champion, and one-time Royal Rumble winner. Which current WWE champion has this resume?
So he currently has the title too?
Currently has a title, one of these titles.
So the Royal Rumble – and it's only one, automatically pushes me towards Rey Mysterio, who's the current U.S. champion. I also believe he only won the WWE championship once, and he had, I know for sure, one World Heavyweight Championship run, and I can't remember if they gave him a second, but he's also won a tag title with pretty much everybody. So I'm putting my eggs in the Rey Mysterio basket. One of my students would be very happy if he hears this and he hears me say that. I'm going to say my final answer for this one, that resume is Rey Mysterio.
Two for two. Two for two. Off to a hot start. Off to a very, very hot start. So I was going to try to trip you up with the Royal Rumble winner, thinking maybe you thought it would be Seth Rollins. That's where I thought I would catch
but you. But he only has the one World Heavyweight title reign because he just
that's
got
true.
That one.
Well, not well. Yeah, that's true. That is. Well, no.
Because it was the Universal Championship or whatever. They tried to say it for a while, and then they finally went back to just WWE and the World Heavyweight Championship.
This is true. This is very true. All right. Next question. You said World War I or slash World War II. I gave you a World War II question, and this question, I think, is very relevant in terms of movies.
I teach this. This is what I teach on a daily basis. So
movies that came out. So, who was the pilot that dropped the world's first atomic bomb on Hiroshima? The pilot.
Damn it! Yeah. Pilot's you stumped me because
Matt,
I did.
Oppenheimer is obviously the creator of the bomb. The pilot's name.
This is I do not know specifics down to that level. I wish that I got to teach more about World War I and II. I'm gonna punt because I have absolutely I couldn't even think. It's an Air Force person, right? Yeah, Air Force. It wasn't an naval pilot, so I can at least take solace that I knew it was an Air Force guy. I also know
I
that
thought you would have got this.
No, I have no clue. I teach the philosophy behind dropping the bomb. I don't actually go into specifics as because it's an American technically. Historical fact, and I know that the philosophy of it has more to do with what I teach. I have no clue. It takes 3 minutes for the impact to fully to feel the full devastation of the impact. That's all I know.
The individual's name is Paul Warfield Tibbets Jr.
I do not envy the guilt that guy must live or must have lived with. I doubt that he's
currently alive still. Yeah.
Yeah. He would be very old if he was. And I'm sure he had some fallout from the radiation, too. It's not like you just drop the bomb and then be, oh, I'm good. You probably –
exactly. It's just not happen like that. Like the effects that had on Oppenheimer, I bet you had it just as bad on Paul.
It's like Wilkins, 20 Jr., whatever, million people have been attributed to dying because of that bomb that was – the two bombs that were dropped. 20
it's
million.
Wild. It is wild, but –
I'll take two out of three so far. I'll take two out of three.
Movies out of it.
All right.
All right. Fourth one. You gave me historically great abs and their statistics.
Oh boy.
Historically great abs and their statistics was what I had.
Yeah.
So the question I have here. There are out of the I believe it's let me count 1, 2 Avalanche. Only two of them played their entire career with the Avs. Who are they?
Would this include somebody who is a Nordique when they made the transition?
Yes. Quebec Nordique / Colorado Avalanche.
I am so Sakic goes one. Okay, now I'm trying to think. That's correct. Is it a defenseman also?
I can't give you hints. This is your too niche. You gotta figure this out.
I feel like it is also a defenseman. At that time, it was a little bit easier to keep guys around. Was it? Is it Sakic and Foot? Are those two lifelong Avs?
Is that your final answer?
That'll be my final answer. I already don't feel good about it.
It's incorrect. Joe Sakic and Milan Hajduk. Adam Foote played with Columbus Blue Jackets for a couple of years at the end of his career. So that's Ray Borg obviously played with the Bruins.
My other guess was going to be Foote, but then I remembered Foote was also one of the trade deadline acquisitions that Lacroix had.
I had to look it up too because I wasn't sure about that because I had to look up the number. I was like, oh, I thought maybe Foote played all of his career, but he didn't. I forgot the last couple of years. We don't remember those years, so who cares?
No. We don't need to remember that. Don't need to be attributed to him.
Final question. Historically great franchises, either currently good or currently bad, or historically bad franchises, currently good or currently bad. That is the question. All right. Which multi-Super Bowl winning franchise started their team's tenure with 26 consecutive losses before winning their first ever game?
The Creamsicle Orange Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That is correct. The Creamsicle Orange Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 26 consecutive losses before winning their first ever game. I did not know that. I did not know that that's the longest losing streak in modern sports history, or not modern, but like football history, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, that was back when expansion teams actually sucked for a couple of years and they weren't in the playoffs or winning championships within the first five. They had to take two seasons just to win a damn game. I am very happy. I will take that.
Three
extra points. So my final total is 16.
I need two.
You need at least two. And if you get two, then we start the pick 'em just as is. If you get any more than that, you will have a little bit of a lead. I feel good.
I'm a little nervous about the Zach Bryan question is all I'm going to say. But besides that, I feel good about the other ones.
So Nico, he said his niche topics, the ones that he sent me, Mighty Ducks D1, which if you listen to his last Guess the Bench, we did movie trivia, sports movie trivia. He knows his stuff about that. 2023 Redwood season. He should know that answer because he's been there for every single game.
If I don't know that one, I'll be very, 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 very upset with myself is all I'm going to say.
Third one was the Zach Bryan American Heartbreak album. That's not the most recent one. He's tough for me to get into because he's so – I got to be in like the saddest mindset possible.
The most recent album is more of a sadder. This one's a little more upbeat. So
I'll have to check this one out because I've just been listening to the most recent one. Fourth was the Peyton era Broncos. So from 2012 to about 2015, 2016, I guess. And then five was the Jokic era Nuggets. So those were the niche topics.
That's current, obviously.
I also just went in order, so we'll go based on that. Number one was the D1 question. What year did Gordon Bombay miss his triple deke and the Hawks took second instead of winning the state championship?
Oh, God. There's no shot I get the year. This is a fucking tough one. This is brutal.
They look at the banner. He points it
out. I know they look at the banner. I think it's in the 70s.
It is in the 70s. I think it is
in the 70s because the movie is set place in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. I want to take a guess. He's like 30 years old. So I'm going to go 1977.
You were close. If I was going to give you at least
Give me a buffer zone.
You were one off if I gave you a buffer zone of three. It's 1973 was the year that he took second and the Hawks did not win the championship. And that is the banner that the coach looks at him and says, I wish they would just take that one down.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's a tough one. That is a
that was like a you have to have watched the movie within like the past couple weeks. Last couple days. Yeah, I did have to look that one up. I said all of these answers were Googleable. I didn't say that you had.
That's a fair question. That is a fair question. I know exactly what you're talking about. Where it came from. That's why I guessed it was in the 70s. I wasn't sure if it was late or early 70s.
I think the movie was released in 93, so you were like on track.
Yeah, it was 92, 93, because the Ducks franchise was like created. I think it was 98 or 97, mm-hmm. So it was like after T2. I remember that specifically.
Yeah. So second question, this is the Redwood specific one. What is the highest total goals scored by the Redwoods this season, and the lowest total goals scored?
Lowest is 3. I know that for a fact.
Lowest is 3. So you have that one. So now you just got to think back.
Oh fuck! What's the highest? It might have been this week, honestly.
Regular season, no playoffs.
Okay. Right off the top of my head, I'm thinking 16. We scored 14 in Salt Lake City. What was the final score here in Denver? Fuck, we did not score very many goals at the beginning of the year. So I'm trying to think of again at the end of the year. Oh man, I'm thinking the Denver score was 15-14. I think that's what the final score was. So I'm gonna go 15 goals. No,
I'm gonna give you a buffer of 1 or 2 because for the high total, you said it initially. You've already said it. It is 16. You guys scored 16 in Denver. That final score of that game was 16-15 in overtime. So you were, even if I gave you the buffer of 2, you were only 1 off. I'm more than fine giving you that one because I want to make it a little bit interesting going into the last 2. And you said that the Zach Bryan question scares you the most.
Yeah,
it's which is our next one. The next one. How many songs?
That is crazy. Hold on, that is wild. That we've only scored 16 goals. I
was thinking it would be in the 20s or at least the low 20s, but 16 was the highest total. Hopefully we change that this weekend in the Redwoods.
We may need run more than 3 goals is all I'm going to say. More than three,
hopefully. Yes. 3 was – you got that one right off the bat.
I knew that because that week was such a stick show. Yeah, that one was just fucking burning into my skin.
Question number 3. How many songs are on the American Heartbreak album, or what is the runtime? So if you listen on Spotify, it tells you the runtime of the album. How many songs are on it? Way more than you would just expect.
Oh, I know there's so many songs on it.
I will give you 3 up or down.
Okay, right off the bat, I think it's like 15. That's my initial guess. I'm not locking
it. Way more than you think.
My initial guess would be maybe the runtime might be easier. Because hold on, let me think this back. Because I've listened to the whole album front to back, and I've like in a car drive.
Yeah.
So I think what's my buffer zone on time? Like 15 minutes.
I'll give you 30 minutes over, 30 minutes under.
Okay, I think that's a lot easier because I've driven in a car to the mountains listening to the whole thing.
And it is reasonable to have listened to the entire album on a drive.
Okay, so right off the top of my head, I've listened to that album driving to Vail, Colorado, which is a 2.5-hour drive. And I think that we got all the way through. So, but like barely. I'm going to go 1 hour and 50 minutes, 5-0, 1 hour, 50 minutes.
You were 10 minutes off. The total runtime, according to Spotify, is 2 hours and 1 minute. It's 34 songs. So there's 34 songs on the album. It takes about 2 hours if you listen from start to finish. So you'll be able to listen.
Deductive reasoning, ladies and gentlemen. That's what happens when you play whole albums on car rides. Let's go. Let's go.
I wanted to give you a chance. I told you you had a chance.
I would have never gotten that if I had not listened to the whole album top to bottom, is all I'm going to say. I remember specifically listening to that to the drive to Vail with a friend of mine when we went up snowboarding. That's all I'm gonna say. I remember specifically, and she'd be like, "We're playing this whole album." I'm like, yes, we're playing the whole album, top to bottom, no shuffling.
You better believe it, sister.
Chronological order.
So far, you've tied it. It would be 16-16 if you don't get another one right. The last 2, I think they're fairly easy, but you might overthink them. I know you'll probably get the last one because the Nuggets one, it was hard to try and figure something out, but you wouldn't know.
Right.
So, fourth.
This Payton one may stump me.
This is the Payton era question. Name the offensive and defensive line free agents that pushed Denver over the top during the Manning era. So, they got one guy in one season. They got the other guy in another. They were offensive and defensive lines, and these were obviously the most important free agent pickups that got them to where they ended up being, which is the 2015 Super Bowl.
Okay, hold on. Let me think right off of that. I think right away, I think Malik Jackson, defensive tackle, that's the first one I can think of because we didn't draft him. Louis, if you put Louis on here, I don't know. I need to ask a follow-up question. Were they signed like when Payton was there, or were they signed right before we won the Super Bowl? Like the year
they
right
were before? So the way that they count in the Manning era, they were both signed after Manning was already signed. One of them was in a season before they didn't win a Super Bowl. One of them was in a season when they did win the Super Bowl.
Okay, then Louis is one of them. I know that for a fact then, because Louis was a Charger.
Yeah, and I got to get that easy plug for the episode that we have of him on the show. So go back and listen to that interview.
I wasn't sure if it was like right before we won the Super Bowl, like when he arrived. But if it's that, then it's 100% Louis.
Uh-huh, that's one. That's the offensive
line. Defensive line. Linebackers don't count, correct?
Well, yeah, and he wasn't.
That's DeMarcus Ware.
Okay.
If linebackers count, then it's DeMarcus Ware.
He's a D lineman. I know that he's listed as a linebacker, but I think that he dropped in coverage less than Von Miller. And I think Von Miller dropped in coverage a total of like five times that season. Yeah. And DeMarcus Ware definitely didn't drop more than twice. He was a pass rusher. He was a defensive end. He just set the edge. So I count him as a D lineman. That is correct. It was offensive line was Louis Vasquez.
I think Malik Jackson was also a signing. Or did we draft him?
I think he was also a signing. And TJ Ward, if I would have just extended it to like Ward, offensive and defensive guys, I think you can make a case.
And Emmanuel Sanders, we go down a whole list of guys.
But that was the thing. It was the offensive and defensive lines. That obviously because the passing game sucked in 2015 and the defense was the lifeblood of everything. We didn't have DeMarcus Ware the first time they went to the Super Bowl. They did have Louis. We talked to him about that. So again, I wanted the shameless plug. Go back, listen to the Louis interview. It was awesome. It's one of my dreams. I got to interview an NFL offensive lineman for the show. And it was awesome. Hopefully we'll be able to have him back on. I have reached out. He has confirmed that he wants to come back on the show. Now it's just a matter of trying to line schedules up.
The season's PLL season's almost over, ladies.
It's almost there. And he's also busy. He has a family too. That's what I was telling Darren. Like I texted him 2 weeks ago, like an hour before my live show was supposed to start. He's like, hey, you want to come on? He's like, dude, I have the kids. I just have the dog that'll listen to me podcast for the hour because he likes hearing my voice. last one.
I want this question just to stroke my ego.
That's fine. Because
I know if I lose this question, hold on. Before you ask the question, if I get this question wrong, I will take the loss.
Okay. You're not going to get it wrong. I know that for a fact.
I want to point that out.
Question number five. What record did the Nuggets set during the 2020 COVID bubble playoff run?
Oh, the only team come down from 2-3-1 deficits and back-to-back series.
Only team in NBA history to come back from 2-3-1 deficits. So Nico will start in a playoff run. Nico will start with
that was a lollipop, dog.
That one was. I didn't know how the other ones were going to go. I didn't think that the Zach Bryan one was going to get. I didn't think you were going to get that one.
Honestly, I didn't think so either. But literally the only reason why I knew that was because of me listening through albums the whole way through.
That's which is fine. I don't think that you didn't expect me to get the Rey Mysterio one, but
I did not expect that.
And I put up a better showing in the final round. I was pretty upset with the last couple like actual guest bench segments that I've done. I'm more than fine because those first few that I got, like those are
very good, Jimmy. I am heavily impressed.
That's going to lead us into our conversation on football before we get into our actual picks, which I will be keeping track of by hand because now that I'm a teacher, I have more faith in my abilities to be able to do that. Like I said, Nico has a 3-0 lead, 3-0 record so far. We got to talk about CU
All I'm gonna say is I called this shit. Okay,
you did.
I want to be. I'm did gonna sit on my in? Fucking high horse. I said that if that there's a chance they could shock the world. I didn't say that they're gonna win. I said that there's a chance that they come out and shock the world with how badly TCU lost everybody and how much talent this roster has. I want to go on record and say that I did do that. I'm not going to sit here and say that if I push all my eggs in the basket that they beat TCU. I'm going to push all my eggs
beat in the basket. Beat them in that kind of a game?
That kind of game.
Oh, my yeah. God.
Yeah.
It was the best game of the weekend. The best game of the weekend was the CU Buffaloes, the Colorado Buffaloes that won one game all season last year.
The most watched game of the weekend was not LSU Florida State, was not the Alabama versus Sisters of the Poor, was not Tennessee versus whoever the fuck they played, because they played a top 10 team, I think, or top 20 team, whatever. Like, it was University of Colorado, one good football team against a team that was in the national championship last year. How can you not love this football team, Jimmy? How can you not? Oh, my God.
When you watch the guys, like, the talent was not overhyped. Like, some – I said it. There was a chance that all this was all hype and it was going to struggle. I texted you a few times, and I still stand behind what I say. The second halves of games during this season are going to be where CU has to – dig deep and find a way to do it. But if you have a quarterback who's going to consistently, like, not put you in bad situations, his stat line was his completion percentage plus the yards that he threw for. It's the most yards from a guy that made the jump from D1AA to D1 in his first start, 450 plus passing yards. And I think he had five incompletions.
He threw 510 yards. Broke the single game passing record for University of Colorado quarterback. Broke the single percentage. He broke seven records as it was. Dylan Edwards, the running back who people just totally forgot about.
True freshman, by the way.
True freshman. Probably one of the best running backs in the NFL. Or going to be
four touchdowns in his debut.
Going to be one of the best running backs coming out of college, going to the NFL next year. He is an absolute animal. He could not be stopped. And look. We haven't even talked about the best player in college football yet.
Oh, dude. Best Travis, player in the world.
Travis Hunter, my fucking God. Do I think he can keep up 100-some-odd snaps for 11 games? Probably not. But my God, the man has to play both ways. Like we are seeing and look.
He wants to play both ways, by the way. He asked Deion to play both ways.
Deion Sanders was one of the most notable two-way players in NFL history. He did it better than anyone has ever done across the world of sports. Travis Hunter may be the reincarnation of Deion Sanders. And Deion has two of his sons on the team. It is crazy, but Travis Hunter is that good. That play he made on the goal line where he dived and read that interception was out of this world.
That wasn't the guy he was covering, by the way. He was in man coverage on a different guy.
And the instincts he had with the TCU frat boys in the stands yelling, fuck you at him.
Like, you're overrated.
Throw a Hunter. He's overrated. And all them be like, oh, that was just, it was so beautiful.
Insert into mouth.
Look, people were calling us crazy, calling the world crazy that Travis Hunter will be in the Heisman conversation, that the Shador Sanders will be in the Heisman conversation. The Colorado Buffaloes are now ranked number 22, Jimmy. Colorado Buffs are now ranked number 22. And look, am I calling for them to make the college football playoff? No, I'm not going to go that far. But my aspirations of a bowl game look low is all I'm going to say. This team has top 10 aspirations, plain and simple. And that's because of the talent and the way Deion Sanders has those guys locked in mentally and locked in the locker room. Because you watch those videos as him in the locker room, every single person staring him in the eye. Every single person buys in to what one of the greatest athletes of our generation, or not our generation, but general, is saying to them because they believe in him, they believe in the guys in the locker room, and they believe that they can beat anybody any given night. That is something that the University of Colorado program has not had since they infamously won or maybe not won the national championship back
in
whatever year it was. So I know you love bringing that statistic up, but look, that locker room and the way Deion has those boys locked in, zoned in on everything, every single word he's saying, it's hard to think that there's that many coaches around college football landscape that has that pull. Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, maybe, I don't know. Like the Lane Kiffins of the world, like look, there's a handful coaches that can pull a locker room like that of young men that believe in each other, believe in their coach. And like I said, CU will fucking roll Nebraska. I have said that since Deion came over. I said I circled that one. This home game Saturday night, on Fox Big Noon kickoff, whatever the hell it is.
It's the first game of the weekend. It's the big national game too, though.
CU will fucking trounce those Cornhuskers. You're telling me that Nebraska team that is scared after all the shit talking they did with this program and Deion, that saying Matt Rhule saying, and I quote, "Oh, they haven't done anything. We'll see what they really are." Matt Rhule now going back and yeah, they played really well. Players on the team saying, "Oh, all transfers in. That doesn't transfer to anything." Now they're all eating their words, being like, "Oh shit, this team is the real deal." They don't know what's coming. And like I said, I'd rather be dead than wear red, plain and simple. And the Colorado Buffaloes, man, it is hard to find a team that is more watchable, more fun to watch in the college football world. And look, it is a breath of fresh air, Jimmy. I am sick and tired of hearing about the fucking Alabamas. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Ohio State. I'm sick and tired of hearing about all these fucking other big-time schools that get gifted into the college football playoff every single year because of what they are and who they are. Colorado Buffalo is the team that won one football game last year, Jimmy, are the most talked about, the most must-watch TV in college football. And I would like to argue, and no one can argue with me on that.
I won't argue with that. I'm glad that you said that you think they're going to roll Nebraska, because I still stand by. I said that they were going to beat Nebraska. I picked them to beat Nebraska when we were going through our schedule too. But this weekend was not perfect. The special teams was very, very bad. And Travis Hunter did this week, and Shedeur Sanders did this week. But now you're not surprising anybody. They have film on, you know, CU did what they needed to. Their offensive and defensive lines are lacking in comparison to the rest of their team. So they put their guys in the right spots. Nebraska is going to have a scheme to be able to try and take that away. So there might be some more growing pains. This isn't like a one week and finish. You're done. This was still a bad football team that needs to continue to be a good football team and be a good football team consistently. But I do think they have – I mean, Nebraska couldn't even beat flipping Minnesota, and they didn't score. Dude, I think they scored
10 points. They scored 10
points. Yeah, they scored one touchdown, and Colorado's coming off of a 45-42 shootout of the first week of the season against national runner-ups.
Exactly, and look, the reason why like I have so much confidence after week one, Jimmy, one of the things that needs to be cleaned up are the penalties. Absolutely. There was false starts. There was clock management penalties. Jimmy, do you know how many penalties the CU Buffs had this weekend?
Probably about five or six.
Six.
Yep.
Six. They had six penalties for a roster that did not play one fully competitive game together at all in its history. That whole roster, we talked about 73 new players. 73. Not seven, not three, 73 new players and six penalties. That shows the discipline and what Deion has is all I'm going to say. And that's the biggest statistic that blows out my mind. Yes, Shedeur went off. Yes, Travis Hunter is unreal. But six penalties as a team makes me believe that this is a team that believes in one another, that is ready to take that next step, in my opinion. So that's why my belief is so confident in this team.
I'm glad I will continue being the squeaky wheel if they continue to show me up and do what they did. We're going to continue to keep a close eye on Nebraska, but we do have to continue the show moving on. So we're doing five games. We're doing all the primetime games plus the Bengals and Broncos matchups. Nico has a 3-0 lead, and we're starting on Thursday Night Football. First game of the season, the Detroit Lions opening up against the defending Super Bowl champions, the Chiefs. Chiefs are favored by 6.5 points. The over-under is set at 54. You're not going to talk about those. I just wanted to get that out there for the people who listen and pay attention to that sort of thing. This is a line that I like for the Lions. I want the Lions to win. If you would listen to Talking the Gridiron Sunday, which you can go back and listen if you missed it live, I picked the Lions on that show. So I'm sticking with the Lions. What are you doing for the opening night matchup? Do you think that the Chiefs are distracted by the banner? Do you think they continue to be the Chiefs and get it done?
Worthy of note, Travis Kelce more than likely will not be playing on Thursday night. Monday
Chris morning. Chris Jones probably not playing.
Chris Jones also not playing. two major, major.
No Orlando Brown Jr. at left tackle.
There is a lot of questions on this Chiefs team. There is a lot of questions. And with Kelce going down with injury, all those fantasy managers, luckily I haven't drafted two leagues yet. I have a draft tonight as we're speaking, and then the day before the show comes out. So luckily I have not done that yet, but Travis Kelce being injured could be deal a great blow. I'm going to go to Detroit Lions as well. I it's crazy. No, because I can't pick the fucking Chiefs. Fuck them Chiefs. That's all I'm gonna say. I cannot look. This you're talking to a guy that is literally knows nothing about football right now. Like my mindset, Jimmy. The past 5 months, 4 or 5 months has been Denver Nuggets championship. Love that. Live that whole life. And then red was the cross. I have no idea. Yep, still world champions. I have no idea what's going on in the world of football. I only see tidbits on Twitter and everything. I didn't watch a second of a preseason.
Fair enough.
I'm still gonna go to the Detroit Lions here because fuck the Chiefs and we I love what Dan Campbell and those boys are doing over there. I cannot wait to see what Jahmyr Gibbs is like. I think he's gonna have an absolute stellar year and be a guy that'll be up for Rookie of the Year with Bijan. So I'm very, very excited for that.
I think too the Chiefs are a team that they're not gonna try and show out in the beginning of the season because they've been there and they know what their overall goal is. So they're going to weather this contract negotiation storm with Chris Jones. They're going to weather the injury storm with Travis Kelce. They're not going to force those guys back because Patrick Mahomes is still going to give you a good – it's not going to be a blowout. But I do think Detroit has a chance to win. We both have the Lions in that one. First game of our teams on Sunday, the Bengals go up to Cleveland. Bengals are favored by 2.5 points. Looks like Joe Burrow is going to be back. I know they still show the questionable, especially if you're playing fantasy, but he's back practicing. He's been practicing for a week. This is the plan the entire time. He wasn't going to play in the preseason, but now we have the opening weekend game, and it's an AFC North rivalry matchup. And the last time you went to Cleveland, you got embarrassed on Halloween night. It was the primetime game, Monday Night Football. And as good as you were last season, that is still a smelly spot on the record. That's all I'm going to say. It's very clear who I'm picking, but I'll let you say your pick first.
I'm not going to pick Deshaun Watson. This is not going to happen. I'll pick the Bengals as well. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm confident. I think this may be the least the Lions probably the least confident, but the second most least confident I'll be in all these games. I said that, and it's not because of my belief in the Bengals, it's the Browns week one. And like, for whatever reason, they always come up and be like, oh, the fucking Browns are the real deal. Cause they come out super hot week one and Stefanski, however, figures it out. Like you said, going into Cleveland, right? So like that's never an easy place to play to a place that the Bengals lost pretty badly last year. So that's not easy, but I cannot, like I said, I'm not, anytime I can pick against the Browns, I will, because I am your friend. A and B, I will never stand with the Browns, playing and Deshaun Watson. So I will pick the Bengals very easily.
I'm hoping that if it is, it's either going to be a good game and the Bengals they're scoring a lot of points, or if the offense struggles, it'll be tight. And if it's a tight game, that's where the Browns will have the edge because they still run the ball better than the Bengals. I'm interested to see what that offensive line is going to look like. I'll be paying close attention, and then obviously I'll have some more in-depth analysis of what the game looked like on Sunday for this week's episode of Talking the Gridiron. Be sure to tune in live on the Variety Sports Network at 7:45 Mountain Standard Time when we get that show started. Next game of the weekend, your Broncos hosting the Raiders. Josh McDaniels coming back to the team that he absolutely destroyed, dismantled before he went back and tucked his tail into New England. Broncos are favored by 3.5 points, and the over-under is set at 44. So not much offense expected, but the Broncos do get that Sean Payton rub.
Pause. Well, let's pause quickly on that. But yeah,
Sean Payton, not anybody else that you have to worry about rubbing.
This is very true. I'm not picking the Raiders. There's not a soul in me who will ever select the Raiders. Josh McDaniels is slowly tearing his own team apart too. I don't know if you saw all the things on Instagram for Chandler Parsons. He's being locked out of the facility. He's doing that because he's holding out right now, I believe. His baby mama is getting DM'd on Instagram about where's Chandler at and all that, like from the team directly. Josh McDaniels, he is running that organization into the ground. And like I said, how funny the turns have tabled, or however the fuck the saying goes. I don't know. never in my world will I ever pick the fucking Raiders, because the Raiders are the shittiest franchise in the National Football League. I'm picking the Broncos. Broncos, get this straight and get this things right on the right track with starting out 1-0. And look, Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback. Let me remind everyone that Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback. Josh Jacobs didn't show up until a week and a half ago to training camp because of his contract hold out. Chandler Jones isn't going into the facility. Max Crosby dealing with injuries all year. No more Darren Waller. Davante Adams, what are we going to see out of him? Pat Surtain coming back for a revenge game. Denver Broncos will win this football game. I am not picking the Raiders.
I am going to pick the Raiders because if you listen to my scenario last week when we did our AFC West preview, they lose this week. The Broncos will come back, beat them in Las Vegas, and that is when Josh McDaniels may actually get fired for what he's doing in Las Vegas. I agree with you that he's not doing anything well, but for some reason, they always come in. In the last 3 years, they've beaten the Broncos at home, and they start the season off with it. There's going to be – I don't know how many people are actually going to show up because the sellout streak still isn't in effect. I'm sticking behind my story. I like the way my narrative plays out. I know that it sucks and it's rough to lose to the Raiders, but I do think that they're going to have something. There's still a lot of talent, even without Chandler Jones. Max Crosby is the better pass rusher of that too. So Max Crosby being there is still going to pose issues.
I will give you that. They're still going to lose. I will live and die on the Raider hate. That's all I'm going to say.
I didn't expect to change your mind. Sunday night football game, the Cowboys at the Giants. Get a first look at the Giants team. They're going to have Saquon Barkley. They gave him a year's worth of contract, so his holdout lasted all of 10 minutes before they said, you're going to take a contract for 1 year, $16 million, and you're going to like it. And he said, yes, daddy, I will gladly do that. I'll take that contract, and I will run the pigskin for you and do everything. He's 70% of the Giants' offensive snaps last year. He accounted for 70% of the offensive plays that they had, successful offensive plays. Cowboys are favored by 3.5. I don't like what Mike McCarthy's been doing the last few seasons. I don't think he's a good coach. And if you want to talk about a guy that's actively sabotaging his team, Jerry Jones did not talk to his general manager or his head coach before he made the trade for Trey Lance. He has actively said that they should have drafted Jalen Hurts, who's a quarterback for your biggest rival in the NFL. He just won't shut the hell up. Like, you're seeing it. Somebody put Grandpa in the home. Quit putting a microphone in front of Grandpa's face. I know he owns all the microphones in the building, but just get him to shut up, because I didn't think that you had a good shot going into the season. But if your owner is actively telling you who they should have in your place, you're not playing for that guy. The Cowboys may struggle even more, but they are very talented. So it's a tough one for me. I'm going to go with the Giants. I'm going to surprise you and pick all teams from New York moving on. The last game is both teams in New York, but I'm picking the Giants for this one.
It's up to you, New York. No way. I'm picking the Cowboys.
With senile Jerry,
the Cowboys are a better team top to bottom. I think last year was still a fluke for the Giants. I want to see Dan Jones do it again. That's all I'm going to say. I want to see Dan Jones do it again. And they still don't have a fucking receiver that I can name off the top of my head. Neither can you. So no I'm still picking
Saquon Barkley?
I'm still
for 5,000, Alex.
Yeah, that's about where they're at.
Monday Night Football. I have a feeling I know who you're going to be picking, because you never pick one of these teams. The Bills, favored by 2.5. They're going into East Rutherford. They're going to play in New Jersey against the Jets. Aaron Rodgers in his debut game for the Midnight Green, Gotham Green. I don't know what they're going to call it. They might wear their black jerseys. Who knows?
He's wearing number 8. They don't wear green, Jimmy. They refuse to wear green. They only wear black and white, which is fucking crazy.
I'm picking the Jets.
I'm not picking the Jets. No, I'm not picking the Jets. No, zero chance. And Nathaniel Hackett still calling plays? Yeah, no, I'm still picking the Bills.
I'm gonna say Aaron Rodgers is calling plays.
Yeah, it sure as hell I am. Nathaniel Hackett is all I'm gonna say. So look, the Jets are gonna have to prove it to me, because there's a good chance that we probably pick their game the next three out of the next 6 weeks, because I think they're prime time slots, or at least
they play the Broncos in week 5.
The Broncos. So yeah, I'm going to pick probably against the Jets every single week. I look, it's a prove it to me. It's a prove it to me. Yeah,
that's fine. It's a prove it to me. They had to prove it to you last year too, and the year before they didn't.
And they didn't
the year before. I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe it's the Hard Knocks bump for this first week. I'm going to stick with the Jets. So rounding out Thursday Night Football.
Not the Madden Lions. Bump. Do you want the Hard Knocks bump instead of the Madden bump?
The Hard Knocks. Okay. Yeah. The hard. Well, it's not a Madden bump. I still need it proved that it's not a Madden curse. Okay. I don't think I drafted. I have not drafted Josh Allen in any of my leagues, but that doesn't mean to say I might swindle somebody in a trade. I need him to stay healthy. I don't want the Madden curse to be a thing. Picks for this first week of the pick 'em. Obviously, Nico still has the 3-0 lead, so I have to go a perfect 6-for-6 to get anything back on him. But the Lions, we both have. The Bengals, we both have. Then Nico picked the Broncos, the Cowboys, and the Bills. I finished up with the Raiders, the Giants, and the Jets. So we have a few different differences there. It's going to be fun to keep track of that. And then we have to start thinking of we're going to produce content around it. Loser has to do something. Loser has to take some test that they don't want to take. Might not be fair anymore.
Jimmy loses, I'll put Jimmy in goalie pads and I'll throw lacrosse balls on him. I'll tell you right now. I'm not very accurate. That may or may not help.
That's worse. I feel like that's worse. And I need shin pads. I need if I can be in hockey goalie gear, if we can find somebody with hockey goalie gear, maybe I'll let you throw. Or box gear. Put me in box gear and I might.
This is basically hockey gear, so.
I might get in the net. Otherwise, I'm going to come up with a counter offer, and I don't want to do that. I know for a fact. I'd need to go buy a cup. I've been retired so long, I'd have to go buy a flipping cup for this stupid video online. I made it fool myself enough.
I'm not going to say what I want to say, but let's just say jock straps are given out every single week by me to my team because my team loses them. So that's all I'll say. So we do have an exodus of them.
Nico hands out jock straps. I hand out cards with their names on it because they can't keep track of that shit. But
how the turns of tables.
Yeah, it's totally different. I say it every time that I see somebody that I know we went to middle school with. I told Drew a couple weeks ago when we saw him, all the karma that we built up. Like, we were good kids. We were never really in trouble. Even the good kids are a nightmare. Like, I feel so bad. I know it firsthand now what we put our middle school teachers through. If you're a middle school student listening to this, be nicer to your teacher. If you have a kid, make sure that they're nice. Just be a pleasant person, because the meanness, all that kind of crap, it's bad. It's really bad. Let's go ahead. I don't need to commiserate. That's what Sundays are for. If we are continuing on, real quick, updates for the content coming out throughout the rest of the week. Top of the Mountain will be back. We're live Thursday. That show will drop Friday. This will be live on YouTube 12 hours before, so be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. The regular episode will drop on Thursday morning, and then I will have Sunday Scaries and Talking the Gridiron coming up on Sunday. Nico's obviously going to be out traveling in New York with the Redwoods, so he's going to be out there for this weekend.
Possibly. At the U.S. Open. It is in New York. The U.S. Open for tennis is going on right now. If I go out early, I haven't figured that out yet. But I may be in attendance for a little tennis action, baby. That's all I'll say.
That would be interesting. We might need some U.S. Open content. Be sure to continue, follow, subscribe, tell a friend about the show. Please leave a 5-star rating and a review if we get another one of those anytime soon. We will read it live on the podcast. Next week, we'll be back full recap plus the pick 'em for the next week. We'll talk a little bit more college football. We had to do a quick one because, like Nico said, he's got a couple fantasy drafts that he's running. He's the commissioner. So report your all concerns. Go directly to Nico. Do not tag me in that. Make sure you follow at FEOTV Pod. Continue to support the podcast. We appreciate everybody tuning in.
Roll Woods, episode baby. Roll Woods.
150. Roll Woods? Roll Woods?
Roll Woods, baby.
We will see you guys next time.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.